live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to I'm your host, Brandon Reif. Joined as always by my man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you, my friend?
Man, it's been a rather interesting afternoon already, man. I know we'll get that in a little bit, man. But no, man, great to be back on, and I'm ready to talk some sports, man. Dude, I almost pulled out the grill today.
You almost did? Oh, put the grill out?
Yeah, I almost pulled out the grill today, man. I didn't. I might just do it for the weekend, you know, with Mother's Day being, you know what I'm saying, around the corner and whatnot. But yeah, it was that fair here in the Circle City, Indianapolis. As anybody does know, that's where we live at. Yeah, it was that kind of a day today.
Yeah, for sure. And Cinco de Mayo, happy Cinco de Mayo to everybody. Sunday is supposed to be a gully washer of rain and storms all day, so does not look good for Sunday for Mother's Day. So if you want to grill, I'd grill it tonight or tomorrow. So, I sound a little weird. I'm just completely out of it today from, I think I've slept the entire day, from this COVID vaccine number two shot that I got. My body is so achy. I have no energy and I've had a headache all day. So, hopefully this means the vaccine's working. So, and I'll feel a hell of a lot better tomorrow, but Jordan flu game again tonight. Usually I do pretty well in these Jordan flu games. So we'll see how it goes. We may only go an hour. We may go an hour 15. We'll play it by ear tonight. Tonight we got a lot to cover. NFL draft was this past weekend. Talk a little bit Indianapolis Colts. Talk a little bit NFL news. Some of the Pittsburgh Steelers moves. Colts moves that were made. Colts moves that were not made. NFL notes. The Aaron Rodgers saga that continues. We're going to have a hell of a lot to say about the Aaron Rodgers Green Bay Packers saga that's going on currently. We've got the Indiana Pacers, wherever you want to look at that. We've got the Pacers fan base going at each other on Twitter. That's when you know it's starting to get bad. We'll talk about that. We got the Pacers giving up 150 points to a 10th place seed in the East when the game matters, quote unquote. The Woj bomb last night, late, laying in bed. Next thing you know, I got Woj bombs just going off. I'm going to pick John's brain. I saw earlier this week some talk about these Marvel movies. They're going to be scheduled to be coming out. So we're going to pick John's brain on that. And then obviously the big one tonight. It's not the Pacers and Kings. I'm sorry, people. The big one tonight is AEW Blood and Guts. World War III, double ring in a cage. AEW is going to try to do it again to not shock the world, but, you know, put out an amazing event this evening. So a lot to talk about in a little time, John. So let's dive right in. Do you want to go NFL and NFL draft, or you want to dive straight into the Indiana Pacers?
No, man, let's talk about the draft first, man, because there's a lot of stuff. We kind of kill two birds with one stone when we cover the NFL. Anybody that kind of follows either myself or Brandon on our Twitter handles knows that me and him have been kind of going back and forth with a bunch of Pacer fans about the Pacers. Like I said, it's drama for your mama, and we'll talk about that. But the NFL, I feel like the NFL is just as much as drama as well. But like I want it because that's fresh in everybody's field, fresh in everybody's mind. I want to talk about the NFL first.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. The NFL draft was the other night. No shock at all. Trevor Lawrence went number one to Jacksonville. Zach Wilson, who I saw a picture of him standing next to all the draft picks. They do a photo beforehand. That kid looks scared to death. And you're like, that guy's supposed to be leading the Gotham City to a title. So that New York media is going to eat that BYU Mormon up there. But Zach Wilson to the Jets. We thought Mac Jones would go to the 49ers with them trading up initially, and then the odds in the sports books completely changed on Thursday afternoon and shifted, and Trey Lance actually was drafted by the 49ers, which means Garoppolo will stay, at least for the time being. So I guess at first, John, those first three picks, all three quarterbacks, Lawrence, Wilson, and Lance, I still believe Lawrence is going to have the best career of those three. I'm not a believer in Zach Wilson with the Jets. I'm just not.
You got to look at the tape, and I know there's been a lot of. There's been a lot of people knocking, like, who BYU plays, and I do believe they play in the Mountain West. I do believe there's been a knock against who they play. But if you dominate your conference, which he did, like, you know what I'm saying, there's no reason why. And then, like I said, he dominated his interview process and all that and impressed the scouts. There's no reason why. You know, I get it that he looks like a little saved by the bellish. I get it. He looks like a kid still. You know what I'm saying? I get all those things. The Jets did themselves I won't necessarily break down their whole draft that they had, my goodness, but they did themselves a pretty good service by cleaning house, basically. You know what I'm saying? A lot of turnover kind of happened with that Sam Darnold trade. They drafted them some new linemen. They're still going to be optimistic on defense, right? And coming into the next 2 years, that's probably what their focus will be in the next 2 years. But they got him some weapons. It'll be a learning curve for him for sure. I don't necessarily, he might not even necessarily start right out. Be honest with you, I think my man is there. I think Flacco's there as in some form or capacity. I get what you kind of say. You can kind of be critical on how he looks and, like, you know what I'm saying. But I think there's going to be some season, and there's probably going to be some growing pains as well. With Trey Lance, yeah, he's not going to probably start till like 2022. You know what I'm saying? To be honest with you, it'd probably be a similar situation where we had with Patrick Mahomes kind of take over after being a year on a clipboard. You know what I'm saying? If anybody, I know in recent memory, nobody kind of remembers how rookie quarterbacks used to kind of come into the league. I think Steve McNair, from my era, right? that one kind of comes to mind anyway. Like, I damn near think he came out of a small school. I think he was on the sideline for like a year and a half, almost 2 years, before they let him become the starter. And then, you know, a couple MVPs later, you know what I'm saying, he became an MVP, you know what I mean? So that kind of used to be the process where, you know what I'm saying, the speed of the game kind of, you know what I'm saying, they kind of let guys learn on the job, like sideline, and they kind of let them learn, you know what I'm saying, in preseason before they kind of thrust into a starting role. So, that, you know what I'm saying, that might be the kind of plan they have for Zach Wilson and definitely for Trey Lance. Trevor Lawrence is a little bit different. He's been playing, quote-unquote, big boy football against big boy talent. Since he was a sophomore at Clemson, you know what I'm saying? That they could have drafted him. The NFL could have drafted him per the rules as of his sophomore season. He probably would have been playing for God knows who, you know what I'm saying? He probably been playing for one of the L.A. teams, right? Sorry, they had been in recent memory. But, like, no, man. But I don't know, Brandon. Like, not to go back and forth with you too much, man. You can say that about Lawrence. But is that the coach, you know what I'm saying, that he's going to end up with, that he'd have a successful career with? I you know what I'm saying, there's a lot we can say great about Urban Meyer, you know what I'm saying, collegially, you know what I'm saying, either at his stops in Florida and Utah and of course, Ohio State. But he's also being tested here as well. So, and we know the NFL is a little bit different, a lot of it different, if you can say, than the NCAA. So, I don't know. I get it. You know what I'm saying? With him playing, you know what I'm saying, who he's played, who he's beat, Trevor Lawrence, the odds are in favor for him to have a better career. But I think they'll go kid gloves on the latter two, and then, like I said, yeah, Trevor Lawrence will be out there day one, you know what I'm saying, getting clobber knocked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they go, you know what I'm saying, those guys gonna be coming at Sunshine. That's what they want. That's what they want to get a hit on him. So, But you know what, man? They you know what I'm saying? Even Jacksonville had a pretty good draft, you know what I'm saying, with the weapons they kind of put around them in the offensive line that they kind of tried to build up. And the cupboard necessarily wasn't bare, you know what I'm saying, from an offensive line standpoint or even in their secondary. So it is kind of interesting. There's still a lot of work to do from for sure from those top three teams.
Yeah, absolutely. looking, I think the first 8 or 9 draft picks, I believe, were all offensive players, which is a first in a long time. There was a defensive player taken. But then, John, it got interesting when the Bears traded up. The Bears got Justin Fields, John. Everywhere I'm seeing, Bears are calling Super Bowl. I think you need to pump the brakes a little bit on that. At least you got NFC North, I would think, the way things are kind of looking right now.
Oh, man. If Aaron Rodgers is for sure, like I said, you know, if Aaron Rodgers is for sure on his way out of Green Bay, then that kind of means that the NFC North is up for grabs, right? Nobody, you know what I'm saying, Kirk Cousins has kind of plateaued in Minnesota. Jared Goff got traded for a reason out of LA. And he's got something to prove, you know what I'm saying? He wants to kind of prove that he didn't retire, so he still wants to play. You know what I'm saying? So he's there to doubt, you know what I'm saying, doubt all the naysayers, right? But I don't, for them to call Super Bowl with Justin Fields, like, there's not a for sure, it's also that for sure he's going to start right away either, you know?
Right.
I don't necessarily think his issue is going to be learning to play the NFL way and learning that you don't always have to run to get yardage, you know what I'm saying? And definitely you got to slide out to not get hurt. He has a propensity to take the blows for the team, to be that, you know what I'm saying, win one for the gipper kind of guy, to stay in the, you know what I mean, to stay in the play, make play, extend plays. But you can't, you know what I'm saying, you can't do that in the NFL. You have to make sure, you have to remember that you are, as a quarterback, you're the leader of the team, and you're also, as selfish as it might seem, you're the most important, you know what I'm saying? So again, learning curve for him. Do we necessarily believe in the Red Rocket going, you know what I'm saying, 17 games with the Bears? No. I'm saying I think they'll split time. And then coming into the season, he'll probably still realistically be probably the third guy on the depth chart, to be honest with you. And with that being said, he won't get the majority of the reps. Regardless of him being athletically gifted or not and being able to run, you know what I'm saying, faster than, you know what I'm saying, or being bigger or whatever than any other quarterbacks in the room that they have there, those guys still have won games. You know what I'm saying? If we remember what the Red Rocket did with the Bengals, if we remember what the Magic Man did with Philadelphia, you know what I'm saying? And then, I mean, hell, he even won a couple games with Chicago last year. So, again, there's going to be a learning curve. Now, though, Brandon, we also have to remember that coaching staff is on the hot seat too. So is it their job to develop Justin Fields, or is it their job to win games? You know what I'm saying? So, yes, the future is bright in Chicago. Because again, they pulled. I mean, so ownership or upper management, the president, right, said, yeah, go ahead and get this. Go ahead and go and roll up and get Fields, since everybody was kind of the belief was, you know, since Fields was going to drop, which he did for whatever reason. But like, no, man. So the coach staff still has to win games. If Justin Fields proves to be the guy that can win them games, then we'll see him. But again, man, we got teams with exotic level defenses that'll make what Bill Belichick put together look like, you know what I'm saying, Western Michigan. You know what I mean? I'm picking on Western Michigan's football team right now. But you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying that NFL has, you know what I'm saying, the best of the best, you know what I'm saying, defensive backs and cornerbacks and safeties that'll make, you know what I'm saying, what he saw against Clemson and, you know what I'm saying, some of the other big time programs that he played against looked like, you know what I'm saying, high school football. So again, man, you know, he'll probably get a chance to start a couple games, but if we see Justin Fields, we see more Justin Fields out there, don't think Super Bowl, think about who's coming in next to coach him.
Yeah, it was interesting that the Vikings were prepared to take Fields at number 14 if it fell to them. And they actually called Kirk Cousins and told him, hey, if Fields falls to us, just so you know, we're drafting him. So, and that'll kind of be a means of story later when these teams are telling these quarterbacks and such, not, hey, we're drafting this person just so you know, and you're not blindsided at all. So he went there, and then I think the most Bill Belichick pick of all, number 15, getting quarterback from Alabama, Mac Jones. John, Mac Jones just seems like he's going to flourish now for New England, win 11, 12 games a year, and it fit the piece in the puzzle. I know they still have Cam and all, but maybe Bill's got his predecessor ready.
Right. Again, definitely, you know what I'm saying, we can see Cam as a bridge guy. Listen, folks, don't you think Bill Belichick would just draft a quarterback just because he needs a quarterback? You know what I'm saying? He's a defensive-minded coach, and there's still some pretty decent defensive backs in that. I mean, he could have drafted Quiddy Pay, you know what I'm saying, at that pick. He could have moved up and maybe got Parsons, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or he could have drafted backwards and got some more picks, as a lot of people kind of thought what would happen. But I think he did do his due diligence. I know, you know what I'm saying, you trust Bill Belichick as a coach and his, and you know what I'm saying, if you believe in the family tree, Mac Jones, you know, obviously played at Alabama, played underneath Nick Saban also under the coaching tree of the great Bill Belichick. I think there'll be a seamless transition where we'll see Cam. You know, listen, man, I'm wishing Cam the best. You know what I mean? I want him to come back player of the year. You know what I mean? But, you know, Cam's health has been the question mark the last three seasons, right? If not the last, I said last three, and I'm being
right.
You know what I'm saying, gifty right there. So I would say the kid better be ready to play, you know what I'm saying, week five, week six, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Colts draft pick, 21st pick, we were talking, everybody was thinking offensive line. I'll admit, I was thinking offensive tackle, got to fill that gap a little bit, and they went defensive end, edge rusher, Quiddy Pay from Michigan. They haven't had an edge rusher in a long time. I think it was the last one. Was it Mathis? I think it was the last pure edge rusher they had.
Yeah, the last edge rusher of note was Bob Mathis, yeah.
So what's your thought, Mr. Colts fan, on that first-round pick of Quiddy Pay?
Again, I do trust Chris Ballard in this regard, at least on that pick. So the guy that I had scouted, right, with my limited scouting ability was Jenkins. But, you know what I'm saying, come to find out, Jenkins is more of a right tackle, natural position for him.
Mm-hmm.
So we want a left tackle, right? So, you know, people can say, well, guys, this is get on the line and you know, say, no, you plug and play, and it is what it is. Like, but no, that's not how football works. You know what I'm saying? Quiddy Pay was a good pickup. He's the best edge rusher in this. I would say second best. I won't say best. I think the Jalen kid that. Jalen Davis, I forget where he went. I think he went to Washington. I think he's actually the best edge rusher in this particular draft. But it's not like the difference between him and Quiddy Pay is like 1A and 1B, to be honest with you, right? But then the Colts kind of gave themselves some assurances. Maybe later down the road when they picked up the other edge, I know my jackup's name, Adebayo. Came on me for something else, but I hope I got his name right. Adebayo out of Vanderbilt, another mm-hmm. edge guy. So his was, a lot have been saying, like, because the world has become more aware of how important left tackle is once we saw the Super Bowl, right? The world has become more aware about how good the Colts were. How good Costanza was once you saw the play, the offensive line play, and how much time Phillip Rivers had to throw, or how the running game worked or didn't work without him being out there. We saw that. So, like I said, the Colts world has been more aware of the fact that how, you know, saying offensive line play can help you win football games. Right? It's not like the Colts didn't do themselves. They got Will Fries from Penn State. Let's be honest. I just said he's from Penn State. That's offensive line and defensive line backer you. You know what I'm saying? What you like about Fries is that he's played every position on the line except for center. So he's had some time at left tackle, started at left tackle at Penn State, started at right tackle at Penn State, played some guard. He's probably more of a natural guard anyway, but there you have a guard already kind of set in place that we already have with the big man from Notre Dame, right? I would give the Colts – I know we don't do grades on this particular show, right? But if I had to give a grade for the Colts, I would give them probably a C+. The eye-opening thing, Brandon, is the drafting of quarterback from Texas, Sam Ellinger. that. Well, we kind of spoke to me and you.
Your
spoke,
boy.
Spoke about it off air. You know what I'm saying? As much as Big 12 football I watch during the fall, I love it. I love Big 12 football because all those guys, all the quarterbacks can throw, all of them. You know what I'm saying? So you'll folks will like Sam Ehlinger, but again, what did that speak about what we already have in Easton? You know what I'm saying? Maybe the coach don't have any faith in Easton in case Carson Wentz doesn't fulfill his 70% of the games. You know what I'm saying? That we hope he plays and leads us to the playoffs. But if we see Sam Ehlinger out there at any point, then that means this season kind of went to the pooper, right? And I'm not saying Ehlinger can't play. I'm saying Ehlinger can play, but again, you know what I'm saying? We would want, if something happened to Wentz, that the next good man up would be Easton, and Easton should be ready because, again, look who we let go. We let Jacoby Brissett go for Easton. We drafted Easton as an insurance policy, you know what I'm saying? At least a second round pick on Easton. So again, man, that kind of tells you that Easton's not ready. I would just give and like I said, I would give the coach a C plus, maybe even B minus. They addressed something that I needed. That I think they needed. They picked up Sean Davis, a safety from Florida, and they picked up to make us less vanilla another tight end, and the kid, Granson kid from SMU. So with Moale Cox coming back and with oh, my God. My guy from Cathedral. Shame on me for forgetting his name, Brandon. You know, I think and talk too fast. The other tight end the Colts have. But so, again, they were real vanilla at tight end the last couple seasons, man. They need to get some more explosiveness to where they can use a big guy, a big target like that. But like I said, they kind of address some of the needs. If you're not believing Will Fries, I think anybody should be looking him up. Like I said, he's played, you know what I'm saying, all positions on the offensive line with the exception of center. So again, he might not necessarily be the bang pick from the first or the fourth round that the coach was kind of looking for a left tackle position. But I think they're kind of going with a switch, like not a Swiss Army knife kind of role, and see who kind of comes into training camp and gets that starter position.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pittsburgh Steelers, John, my Steelers, they picked Najee Harris out of Alabama, running back with the 24th pick overall. I like the pick. And I know everybody's like, well, you need an offensive line to block for Ben. But also, you think Najee is that type where you can do a dump down pass to him. And he's a pass catching back out of the backfield. So Ben can get rid of the ball quick to Najee and let him make some moves. Some of that stuff he wasn't getting from Connor or Snell or Jalen Samuels and some of those guys. So I do love the pick. And Najee, I think he'll complement with Snell and them pretty well. And definitely a three down back for Najee. Then they went out and got a tight end with their second round pick. You know, I know we've had Jesse James, we've had Vance McDonald in there, but there's been a void since Heath Miller has left Pittsburgh. And they went out and got that Freiermuth from Penn State. Tight end, the kid can play. I saw some videos of him just bruising some defensive backs after he's catching the ball. Then they went after an offensive tackle and offensive guard, kind of work there. They got a couple edge rushers, dude from Miami and a guy. And I love the Loudermilk pick from Wisconsin. That's like a mini. Now I'm not saying he's exactly him at all. Don't twist my words, but he's like a mini T.J. Watt. With Loudermilk, the way he plays and the way he hits. He's good. That's a good, great fifth-round pick there. I love the fact that the seventh round, John, they drafted a punter who is the heaviest punter in NFL draft history, coming in at 264-pound punter. Presley Harvin III from Georgia Tech. Dude's probably not going to play a snap. But he looks like a hoss. He could probably play O-line if we needed him to. So, love the picks. Najee, I think he's going to do great things in Pittsburgh.
I would agree with you, man. I listened to a little bit of the bus. He was all about it, about them picking Jerome Bettis. He was all about them picking Najee Harris. And with Ben being – I don't know what happened. You know what I'm saying? I know you can probably speak a little bit better. I don't know what happened when they went from a – I'm not saying Big Ben was a control quarterback where he was a game manager, but it was more where they mixed it up with the run better in the Super Bowl runs that the Steelers had, than that they tried to turn Big Ben into something like Peyton Manning, where I think he threw 33 touchdowns last year, which is great, but that's not necessarily speak to the levels of his game. You know what I mean? That doesn't speak to the strength of his game, right? So what I run to say, you know what I'm saying? So you're going to get a great mix, a run-pass mix, like you said, with play action, with Najee Harris. He's played some big-time football in his years at Alabama. He's not necessarily, I don't believe, he's a real dinged-up kind of back. I had him rated as the number one running back in this particular draft. You know, with running backs not being kind of looked over this year, I think he could potentially be a steal, so long as they can probably find a good, a wall for him to run behind.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we got him over ETN. I was worried we were going to there's a chance we could go ETN with the pick, which is interesting that he went the very next one to Jacksonville, but I think we got the better of the two.
Yeah, I can't, you know what I mean, Brent. I think it's tomato, tomato. With either of those two, I think ETN was kind of the forgotten man.
Small guy, too.
Clemson. Yeah, I think he's kind of forgotten man in all of Clemson football. You know what I mean? But, I think the Steelers did their due diligence by drafting Najee Harris. Like I said, I think he's going to play dividends like the game one.
Okay. All right. Switching over, NFL. Aaron Rodgers, John. There's
That's what you got to do.
Thursday. Oh, my God. If you've slept under a rock on Thursday, the night of the draft, word comes out that Aaron Rodgers is not happy with the Packers, and he doesn't want to report and play for the team next year. Then there's reports that he's had issues with the general manager, and it dates back to players getting released. And then report today said Rodgers has been telling other free agents, don't come to Green Bay because I'm leaving here. The saga of Aaron Rodgers, and everybody's talking all these trades and what trade would work this and what trade would work that. I understand, but I don't know, John, if I would want to, as if I'm one of these other teams, the Broncos or the Raiders, do I want to sell the farm for maybe 2 years? I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he may just retire after one season or so. This dude's 38 years old. He doesn't have much left in him. I don't know if I would trade the farm for it.
I'm going to say that he doesn't have much left in him. The diva attitude, the narcissistic attitude is what would kind of turns me off with Aaron Rodgers. Okay? I think the NFL guys watch a whole lot of basketball, power players kind of wean their ways out of their team for whatever reason. And they think that now that they can do it. Football is a little bit different than basketball when you talk about team building and all that. So, you know, would a team trade for Aaron Rodgers? Would they sell the farm? You bet the Las Vegas Raiders would. I don't think that's on Aaron Rodgers' mind to go play for Chucky and play in Las Vegas. That's not where he wants to go to. So that's the thing that's different with football and basketball. Basketball, you can pout and say, you know, I want to go play for the Nets like, you know, St. James Harden did, and eventually you'll get traded to the Nets. You know what I'm saying? So football general manager is going to make the best deal for them. Vice versa. I can't just send you, you know what I'm saying, this linebacker and this draft pick for Aaron Rodgers, or, you know what I'm saying, and they don't need a linebacker. They don't need no draft pick. They need a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? You know, and maybe they don't want the starting quarterback that the Raiders have. You know what I mean? For whatever reason, but you know what I'm saying, whether you believe in him or not, as a leader in the locker room, it might not just necessarily work with their particular systems that they run there. There's a different skill set. You know what I mean? I don't know, Brandon. It's still, you know what I'm saying, there's a lot of rumor and talk and innuendo about where he's going.
And we haven't heard from him either. That's the thing.
Well, other than what he's kind of chimed in about at the Kentucky Derby, we haven't necessarily heard from Aaron Rodgers. If you believe in the trade winds, it seems like 80-20 that he's going to Denver, and then there's also probably a whole lot of interest, at least from the Saints organization, about getting him. But again, I don't think the Saints have enough. They'd have to leverage everything from 2022 to 2026 to get Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think Sean Payton, with him being the savvy, almost like Bill Belichick kind of coach, and like, you know what I'm saying, like he's the umbrella. No, he ain't the umbrella. He's the rain of that, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, of that organization. He's not saying, well, I'm going to get Rodgers for 2 years, 3 years maybe, you know what I mean? Let's talk about this, man, before we talk about where he's going. How can you poo-poo being 13-3 the last two seasons? I get it that you know what I'm saying, you didn't get the wide out that you wanted. I get it. They released your buddy, you know what I'm saying, locker room buddy that you chimed in, checked in with. But the last two seasons, they were 13-3. And and in his 10 years of being in Green Bay, he's been a three-time MVP. The last particular game, hopefully I got his name right. Yes, Coach LeFleur could have called a better game, but then Aaron Rodgers, if he's the baddest man, like, you mean to tell me quarterbacks don't do bootlegs? They don't break?
Can you audible?
Can you audible? Right. So, I, again, he had daylight. Did he not?
He could have ran it.
If he runs for daylight, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't get into the Super Bowl, and maybe we have a different conversation about Aaron Rodgers not staying in Green Bay because, you know what I'm saying, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So again, as much as he can whine and complain about the general manager or the coach, a lot of those fingers, man, you got to point back at yourself, Aaron. You are the MVP. I don't know if you caught Brashaw's.
Yes, I did. Which Terry was pissed off that they also drafted a quarterback in the first round when he was there. Just so we're more clear there, he was upset as well. A Pittsburgh beat writer put that article out. So Terry's half right.
being upset and then motivating yourself is two different things, I would mm-hmm. say. You know what I'm saying?
He's pissed off. He hasn't been in the talks, the discussions, with the Jordan Love thing, where you get these other guys that are being told, hey, Kirk Cousins, we're going to draft a quarterback here. Such and such, we're drafting the quarterback here. He's not being told. He's being blindsided. Apparently, this is the third or fourth time now. He's been blindsided with something. He's pissed off about his contract. They're not giving him the money. And the fact that Jared Goff's making more money than Aaron Rodgers this year, I can sort of see that for Aaron Rodgers, why he's pissed. But also, I'm like, I don't know, bud. I want to say shut up and play football. It's kind of what I want to tell him. Like you said, you're 13-3 the last 2 years. You was in this situation through the last 3 years. Like, just shut up and play with your guys. You got Devontae Adams. It's not like you don't have a wide receiver. It's not like you don't have a running back with Aaron Jones. You have a team. And it shows that this team can win. It's just a play here or a play there is keeping you from the Super Bowl. Which, by the way, I was talking with somebody at work the other day. This might make Chicago fans even like us a lot more, or even Detroit fans or Minnesota. I still, John, believe Aaron Rodgers, he might be overrated. He's only won one Super Bowl. How many times has he lost the NFC Championship? How many times? He's a little overrated.
Right, I know you said this before. Right.
He's getting a lot more credit than I think he deserves for a guy that's only good in the regular season.
Man, you just went Skip Bayless on Aaron Rodgers. You just said,
is that what Skip said?
Skip Bayless. Remember, Skip used to say Peyton Manning is the greatest regular season quarterback. And then Peyton Manning won the championship with the Colts and Denver. You know what I'm saying? For him to be that good, where the hardware at, Aaron? You know what I'm saying? Again, there's a lot of NFC North championship championships they won, titles. You know what I mean? But you're not necessarily graded at the end of your days on that. You kind of graded like how many times you kind of lived in the Super Bowl, right? I won't necessarily say he's overrated. I will say this though, Brandon, to kind of go back, if he does get traded, then he's not King Kong in that locker room. You see what I'm saying? The coach is. So like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Here in Green Bay, he walks on water right now. Like, I don't. The next step would be the fan base kind of turning its back on him, and because dude, if they can turn their back on Favre, they'll turn their back on Aaron Rodgers. You know,
right.
what I mean? They just will. So, but I don't know, Brandon. I don't think there's a repair in sight because the president of the organization is not going to fire the general manager. Why should he? He's put together on his resume. He's put together a championship roster. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we're talking about Kevin Pritchard, and we'll get that here in a minute when we talk about the NBA. He's put together a championship roster. You know what
I'm saying? Week one, you don't believe Rodgers is the quarterback of the Packers?
I don't see it. There's too much, you know, saying dirt in the air.
Let me ask this. Say he goes to Denver. Does Denver then have enough to just overtake the Chiefs for the AFC West?
All right, you open up a can of worms, man. Like, you going to – no. The answer to your question, no. So you want to go to Denver? You want to go to maybe the Saints? To right where – right in Tom Brady's back pocket? No, you don't. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's necessarily a cakewalk in the NFC North. It has been the last two seasons because the Bears have kind of been – you know, oh man, I want to say something bad. Like I can say, they've been.
Don't do it. We're on the good side today.
Right. The Bears have been less than what they historically, you know what I'm saying, less than championship swagger, right? Detroit is what Detroit is, and Kirk Cousins, they begged him to come there, which kind of is foretelling what the Minnesota Vikings are as how they were quarterback. They needed a quarterback. They begged for a quarterback, and Kirk Cousins kind of answered that call for them. So you kind of cakewalk the NFC right now. Even past the two seasons, even they were, I think, in 2016 or 2017, they were 10-6. They still won the NFC because of, you know, saying the lack thereof of the teams around them.
Yeah,
you know
NFC's a cakewalk.
Now you want to go play in Patrick Mahomes' backyard? Nah, man. Patrick Mahomes has got Orlando Brown, a left tackle. They spent a lot of draft capital to get him, and he's all pro left tackle.
And that's crazy enough that the Ravens traded somebody that's a rival, not a rival, but a direct competitor to you to go to the Super Bowl, and you made that position that they're the weakest at a hell of a lot better. That didn't make sense to me.
I know. That's on the Ravens, and like I think they're trying to set themselves up to pay Lamar Jackson down the road. I think. I don't know. Again, they got more, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times NFL owners got more money than God. But it just doesn't make sense because then they stole, quote-unquote, stole another lineman, I think, from the Steelers, right?
Villanueva, yes.
I think they kind of maybe overpaid for him. So, like, what is you really saving money by letting Orlando Brown go? You know what I'm saying? So again, man, to get back to Aaron Rodgers, dude, you want to – I'm not saying guys run away from competition, but like they can still go another 14-3 up to 17 games. Now they can go 14-3, right, next year or even another, you know what I'm saying, whatever. They can win the NFC North again next year with all the uncertainty that is with the rest of the teams. So like, are you that pissed, Aaron Rodgers, that you want to leave Green Bay? You know, so maybe he is, but so I don't think he starts week one with Green Bay.
I agree. I don't – obviously, right now, Denver's the number one leader in the clubhouse. May or may not have something to do with his fiance living in Colorado. I don't know. Like you said, do you really want to go there and have to deal with Mahomes twice a year and with whatever career you have left, whatever time you have left? I mean, you'd be dealing with him all the time. One team that seems approachable to me that the Packers could trade to him, it would not be direct competition. It would still be in your conference, but it wouldn't be direct competition with it. I could see him getting traded and Daniel Snyder paying for him to go to the Washington football team.
Ooh, kind of like, yeah.
The door is wide open in the NFC East.
The door is wide open, and they do need a quarterback. I was kind of surprised that the Washington team – No.
And they got the money.
I knew they would go defenses because, you know, saying Ron Rivera is a defensive minded coach, but that's just because there wasn't a quarterback that they're at that position that they wanted, right? They got the money. Aaron would have to want to go there. It might have to be again, kind of like how Brett Favre left Green Bay. Like he didn't want to go to the Jets, but he went there. Why he played first eight? I wish Sweet Lou would call because I'm sure he could. He probably knew better than I do. First eight games, real strong. Got a little injury. And then, got a little arm injury, and then he kind of, you know, said, I really don't want to be here, and kind of played like that. So
he said some dick pics to a intern there, I think, if I remember right.
I was trying to stay above that.
I'm not. It is what it is.
The one year or so in New York, after the wheels kind of fell off, you know what I'm saying, it was just holding time for him to get to where he wanted to go, which was back into the NFC North. If Aaron really wants that bad out of it, that might have to be what kind of happens. But I think he's still technically under contract for like the next two seasons.
Yes. Real quick, I didn't talk about it in the draft. Rondale Moore, Purdue wide receiver, went to Arizona. So he's out there with Hopkins, Kyler Murray, I guess you can say A.J. Green. To me, that means that they're not bringing back Larry Fitzgerald. I think Larry Fitzgerald's time's done. And I think it's a great opportunity for Rondale, as long as he can stay healthy, with Kyler being his quarterback and opposite of Nuke out there.
Yeah, great pickup. I can't poo-poo it. You know me. I'm kind of high on Arizona going into. I think they make the wild card this year and kind of frighten teams. You know what I'm saying, kind of give us scared to a couple teams out there. They're not necessarily Super Bowl bound. Not necessarily this year or even next. But yeah, I think that's definitely a good offensive pickup for them.
Cool. Okay. We'll bring on real quick. Call in Fred Feldner, KFAB Connection. What's up, Fred?
Hey, what's happening, Crossroads Sports?
Not much. Good. Jordan flu game for me tonight. So.
Oh, man. Somebody sending you a bad pizza?
No. It was second COVID shot I got yesterday, and it's kind of kicking my butt today.
Maybe it is, maybe it ain't. Maybe it's just that placebo effect, you know, scrolling through Facebook all the time and seeing all those negative stories, you know, maybe it's a placebo effect. Who knows? I'm not a doctor.
I blame Aaron Rodgers.
I'm a sports fan, though. Yeah, it's always Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, how good does it feel being a Lions fan, seeing all this Aaron Rodgers-Packers drama going on right now?
To quote Dwayne Wade, I love it. I love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah, it couldn't happen to a better organization, too, and their fans and, you know.
John, go ahead.
Better to do than go to Lambeau, you know.
No, I know we talked about a little bit last week, Fred, about my first pick that I thought the Lions would take would be an offensive lineman, and that's what they went with. I know it's not necessarily the sexy pick everybody kind of wanted with wide out or tight end, but I think the Lions had a pretty solid draft picking up Rashad Slater. I had him rated number two in this particular draft, offensive lineman. I guess, you know what I'm saying? I ain't top in the shade just yet. You know what I mean? But I think he's a pretty good guy out of Northwestern. You know what I'm saying? Not a whole lot of penalties playing in the Big Ten last few seasons.
We didn't draft Slater. We drafted Sewell.
Hold on. My intel is correct.
No. Yeah, the Lions picked Penei Sewell, so.
I saw Slater. Yeah. Shame on me. Slater failed.
No, they got Sewell in the first round. Slater went to the Chargers.
Slater fell to the Chargers. I thought they should have picked
Slater's going to go surfing this fall.
We'll edit that out of the podcast before it gets posted.
That's good. But no,
edit it
you
out
can leave it in there because I said I had Slater rated second. Sewell, there was a knock on Sewell being not committed, but like that was only like one that might have been what's the guy with the good hair with the oh my god, that's him said he had a knock on Peyton Sewell not being a worker, but hell, every other draft analyst had said this dude's probably gonna be a Hall of Famer kind of guy, blocking kind of guy. So no, I reiterated if Brandon wants to edit out or not, man. I think they picked the great.
I'll keep it in. It's a blooper.
That's cool.
Do that as a cold open on the podcast version. Hey,
no,
hey, to quote Indianapolis native Mike Epps, players mess up.
No, but I'm glad they picked the offensive lineman instead of a wideout. I really am.
You know what? You know what, Bird? You brought up that great point about not, and we talked about this too, the whole not making the sexy pick. Here's the thing. Patrick Mahomes, you know, he's a stud through the whole season. He gets to the Super Bowl. What happens in the Super Bowl? The trenches.
Right.
That's where the game is won, is in the trenches. So you can have the flashiest quarterback. You can play NFL blitz ball and the greatest show on turf. You can do whatever you want. But the game is in the trenches. If you don't have linebackers ready to rip somebody's head off and you don't have linemen that can stop linebackers like that on the other team from ripping your quarterback's head off, it does not matter if you're out there trying to do NFL blitz. It doesn't matter. So,
right.
You know, would I have liked to have them get like a Justin Fields? Like, the Bears desperately needed a quarterback, and they traded up for him. So you're going to see teams that need to be desperate. But the Lions, I don't think, and this is funny of me saying this. Yes, I am about to say this. A team that's won one playoff game in 60-plus years, they didn't draft desperate. Like, Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell came in. They had their picks. They knew what they wanted. And they got what the best player available, what they felt were guys that are going to come in and want to knock people's heads off. And you talk about rebuilding the culture in Detroit. We need players like that. We need a team on both sides of the ball that are ready to do that. And you got Goff, and you got some other pieces in there, and then you kind of build as you go. It's a rebuild. So
right.
The only thing that I did not like was in the second round. I was kind of pissed we didn't get my homie from Notre Dame. You know, I was really hoping for them to draft him, I felt like, at linebacker. But at the same time, like, boiler up, Brandon, the pick that they got, I think they got a steal in the Barnes kid.
Yep.
I didn't follow Purdue super close this season as a Michigan fan, but from the tape that I watched on him, like, he's another dude that's going to come in. He's ready to knock people's heads off. So played in the Big Ten, you know, which the competition level's pretty high. So
right.
All in all, you know, like, I was just – I'm very happy with the draft. The cornerback, I believe, out of Syracuse, I forget his name, it's spacing me at the moment. He looks like another steal of the draft. So, I mean, I love the draft. I absolutely
right.
love the draft. That was the only thing in the second round was I wanted the kid from Notre Dame. You can't always get what you want, boo-hoo. But, you know, I give him like a B-plus all around for the Lions draft.
Right. Address your okay.
Okay, perfect. Fred, what thoughts on tonight? Blood and guts? Like on an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10? Or 10 out of 10?
It's out of 10. It's out of 10 tonight. And, you know, for a minute I thought we were only getting the blood and guts match, but we have an Eliminator tag match that's going to be cool. We got Britt Baker's going to be wrestling tonight, which, you know, in my opinion is the biggest women's wrestling star period
yep.
right now. And then you got QT Marshall and Cody, which that feud, the Nightmare Family feud, and the dissension among the ranks there has just been awesome. I think QT is one of those super highly underrated wrestlers and characters. I think he's a great heel right now. And Cody's return last night was great. And, you know, of course, the Blood and Guts deal with Inner Circle and Pinnacle. I mean, they're two great stables with great talkers and great wrestlers, and I'm just super excited for what they're about to do tonight. I really hope that they just hit it out of the park. They've never really given me a reason to think otherwise, so I'm super excited for the show tonight.
Prediction?
I feel like it's tough, man, because, like, Inner Circle is now a face, and, like,
mm-hmm.
Do you let them go over, or do you, you know, does Pinnacle go over? What I could see happening, I don't know who could come out or what. I think MJF mm-hmm. still has another trick up his sleeve for the Pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like some kind of fugazi stuff's about to happen tonight. We might get a run in. We might get some kind of turn. We might see something. But I have a gut feeling that Pinnacle's going to do something dastardly to win, and it's going to be as advertised. Right? There's got to
yeah.
be blood in a blood and guts match.
Yeah,
but
I agree with you. I love for Inner Circle to win, but I think for the storyline to kind of continue and you're not burying the Pinnacle, I think they have to win this match. Or else
exactly.
Then what's the Pinnacle if they lose this, you know? So yeah, I do think there'll be some tomfoolery of some sort going on with it. And so I'm definitely looking forward to it tonight. I'm going to lay in bed again, like I've been doing for all day today. I'm going to watch it tonight and looking forward to it. So John, what's your thoughts?
I got no thoughts on, I'm just going to watch it as a spectator. My wrestling, you know what I'm saying, has been a little down. I can't watch everything. I've been watching a whole lot of Marvel, been watching a whole lot of Saved by the Bell. Shame on me, right? But I do got to say about the Bell.
Hey,
really,
hey.
But I gotta ask Fred, because I know Fred on Facebook a whole lot, and I didn't put this on my Twitter or on IG. Sadiq Bey from the Detroit Pistons made the Crossroads Fork, man. What has, you know what I'm saying, real quick, what's been some of your thoughts? You know what I'm saying? I know the wins have not necessarily been, you know what I'm saying, rolling like they should be with the Pistons, but like, man, he's been one of the bright points for them this season.
Yo, absolutely. I'll be honest, and you can check my fandom, whatever, at the door, whoever wants to look at my credentials and think I'm not a hardcore fan because I'm not keeping up with the Pistons the last couple of weeks, you know. But everything that I've seen, I watch highlights regularly. Full games, not so much at this point in the season. They're going to be a top three pick in the draft. But I will say, though, the Pistons, so funny that they might be one of the best worst teams ever. Like, they're always ultra competitive. Do you ever see them getting blown? I think the Knicks blew them out by like 40 once, and that was really it this season. Sadiq Bey is just a hooper, and
right.
he can score. He can produce numbers beyond just points. Like, he's dishing the ball, he's getting boards. He's just an all around basketball player. And this was a guy that, how many people had him on their draft board as a guy that's going to, you know, make an all-NBA rookie team? A lot of the talk was on the kid from France on our team who, sadly, Killian Haynes has been injured most of the season. He's you know, he's played, you know, a couple weeks now, and he's developing his footing.
Yeah.
But Sadiq Bey is the guy for the Pistons outside of Jeremy Grant. He's basically taken over this elite scoring role and taken off that load off of Jeremy Grant. I got to give credit, too, to Isaiah Stewart. That kid, he could be, especially as a Pistons fan, you always compare to the go-to-work 04 team and then the bad boy teams.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Isaiah Stewart could be a kid that would have been able to fit in either era for the Pistons. And he, amongst other players, have actually spoken out about it, that they want to restore that swagger and attitude back to Detroit. They want to be that gritty, defensive, hard-nosed team that when people get them on the schedule, it's not a laughing stock. It's like, oh, man, we're going to get punched in the mouth tonight. Like, this team's going to play us physical. They got a lot of talent on the team, and they play team ball. They're not necessarily, you know, the NBA now where you got to have Magneto and the Sentinels to, like, beat other teams. But,
right.
You know, back in the era where you actually had to be competitive and you couldn't just get your buddies to come team up with you. So that, I love hearing the youth on the Pistons really want to rejuvenate this squad to bring back that era, because 04 was a long time ago, right? It's 2021. So as a
right.
Pistons fan who went through those two eras of greatness, it seems like forever since they've been good. You know, four straight Eastern Conference championships, and, you know, Rasheed Wallace leaving Robert Horry open, could have had a back-to-back, but could have, would have, should have, you know. But but Sadiq Bey, man, keep him, sign him. As soon as that rookie deal's over, throw the Brinks
right.
truck at Sadiq Bey. Isaiah Stewart, keep him. Jeremy Grant. Killian Hayes, the verdict's still out on him. Like, give him a year to really develop as a healthy player and see where he goes. But, man, I mean, the way it's looking with the Pistons, as long as the lottery balls bounce their way, they're looking at either Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, or Evan Mobley. Those are all
right.
three players that are going to change your team around, like, instantly when they put the jersey
yeah.
on. So the sky's the limit for them, man. I'm excited.
Okay. Perfect.
Fred, I trust them.
Awesome.
I trust the Pistons organization draft more than I trust the Pacers.
Oh man! Hey, at least you're gonna battle it out for the. At least you guys might have to battle it out with the Wizards for the play-in game, which I love now that the Lakers.
Hell no,
are like,
tank it.
I love that the Lakers are a 7 seed now, and all of a sudden LeBron's against the play-in game. It's the worst idea ever now that they're a 7 seed. Oh, you hate to see it, but you know, playoffs are going to be interesting this year, and for once, I think the NBA might have a little more balanced situation of play-in games and playoff games instead of it just being a boring cakewalk. So that I also am looking forward to as well.
What's the for the big blood and guts tonight? What's on the menu tonight?
Oh, we got to do it with Jets. Shout out to Jets Pizza and Carmel.
Jets
dude.
Again? Three weeks in a row, Jets.
Dude, so here's the thing. Here's the skinny on Jets. If you're wanting a good wrestling pizza night, Jets has a $5 small one-topping pizza. And you hear small and you're like, oh, well, that's, you know, I'm a hungry guy or gal. Like, that's not enough to feed me. Dude, these are Detroit deep dish style pizzas. So it's a big square. You get six big squares for $5. So small one top of pizza at Jets for $5, man. You heard it. You heard it from Kayfabe. So, but
perfect.
Yeah, Detroit pizza. I mess with New York style too, but you know.
Okay. I didn't know if you were going to go Cinco de Mayo on us tonight or not. So that's why I was asking.
Oh, you thought I was going to be that. Oh, happy Cinco de Mayo. Appropriate all the cool stuff that I don't have any interest in. Like, cool, you're drinking a Modelo today. Do you know anything about the holiday? Cool? No? All right.
Viva La Raza.
Man.
So, all right, Fred. Thank you, my man. Take care. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, as always. Thanks, guys.
All right, Fred Filmer, KFAB Connection. All right, John, we're going to do quick ad reads real quick. We come back, we're going to dive into the Pacers saga. Should be interesting,
yep.
So stay tuned.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Also, we want to thank our sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born. They specialize in motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks. I saw a slingshot on the road a couple of nights ago. Pretty cool little contraptions they got. They offer pickups, deliveries, shipping worldwide. Check them out today at MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. And I believe if you're listening to this while you're in down in South Florida, they are hiring as well. So if you're looking for a job, you know somebody's looking at a job in South Florida, have them hit up MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. All right, John. Thank you to both of our sponsors. Indiana Pacers, I want to dive into this two different folds. First off, before we dive into the mass chaos, and I bring that up, I want to talk about this team currently. The defense is atrocious. The fact that in a big, huge play-in game, ramifications against the Wizards, you give up 150 points plus to the Wizards. You let Wes Westbrook score 14 points, 21 rebounds, 24 assists. No defense, John, maybe the worst defensive Pacers team I've seen in history. And this is even during the 2004 to the 2010 seasons, where we were just overmatched every year because we didn't have anybody during those dumb Travis Diener years. Shout out Travis Diener. But my God, when they gave up, and it was regulation, it wasn't overtime. That's 150 some points, and we're scoring 124. But this hoopty hoop defense that we got going on right now is just god awful.
Right. And it, Brandon, this was also 2 days after we had scored like the NBA most points ever in regular season.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it.
You can say, you can use excuses that who's not out there is not playing. You can say you know, new coach, and, you know, he's making rookie mistakes on the sidelines. You can say that. But at some point, you have to stop making excuses as players. If you know you have deficiencies at rebounding, which the Pacers do outside of Sabonis, if you look up, anybody looks up Sabonis' numbers, knows that he leads the team in rebounds total, more so defensive rebounds than anything else. But, you know, saying why that's great that he's great off, that he's a great defensive rebound. That means the other team ain't getting the opportunity to do two seconds score, right? So you kind of have to look at the other. You know, what I'm saying you have to kind of look at some of the other pieces that we have on the floor there,
mm-hmm.
And like what are you doing to like clog the lane so that guys like Westbrook don't get to the hoop at will. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, I remember one report saying the Pacers were going to be the one of the longest, you know, lengthwise. You know what I'm saying? We put the guards from end to end. You know what I'm saying? They don't necessarily use that to their advantage. You know what I'm saying? You watch. I don't know if you caught the Nets and Bucks game or any of the Bucks. You know, I love mm-hmm. the Bucks. You know what I'm saying? Well, I like the Bucks. I don't love them. I'm not from Milwaukee, but they play defense outside of Giannis. You know, he's a great defensive monster. But outside of Giannis, man, you know, saying they get commitment out of guys who offensively are a little challenged. Whether it's PJ, or Connington or some of their other, you know, saying less than stellar
Middleton.
Guys. Middleton, yeah, they get their hands on the ball or they help defense. You know what I'm saying? I think they turned over Durant like three times on their own. You know what I'm saying? The other night, the past two nights. You know what I'm saying? So you have to get, if you don't have the offensive firepower like a LeBron or AD on your team or Jamal Murray and Jokic, you know what I'm saying? We know the dynamic duos and trios that are there around the league. You have to play a certain style of basketball that says, yo, we keep ourselves in basketball games. Hell, even though some of those teams keep themselves in basketball with their defense. You
right.
know what I'm saying? This Pacers team doesn't do that. Again, you can blame the rookie coach, and you can blame Miles Turner not being there. And I got into Twitter beefs and wars or debates about Sabonis' plus minus. And I know me and you talked Jeff Reamer today
yep.
on Twitter. It's probably last time, first time you're going to hear his name on Crossroads Sports airways. But he's a guy, you know what I'm saying, that got his own little blog or whatever. And it's defending all these Pritchard picks and defending, you know what I'm saying, this lackluster Pacer season. But it's commitment to us. It's commitment. So, yeah, you can have all the offensive, you know what I'm saying, triple. Like, I think Brogdon had like four or five triple-doubles this year. Even Sabonis has had six this year itself. Turner has had the best defensive numbers when he's out there this particular year. But again, there's still something not right, even when they've been at 90%. And
mm-hmm.
so we can't use the excuse. We can't use the excuse to can't win games with only 80% of your roster. The Nets have had 80% of their roster the whole year, and they still win games. I get it. They're a little bit more elite level offensively than we are. But you have to know that. I know that. And I'm not a coach. I'm not the general manager. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you have to – again, man, it's mind-boggling. When you have efforts like that where you see Westbrook and Beal and a lesser team, you know what I'm saying? I won't necessarily see the backcourt that they have with Washington is probably better than the backcourt that we have, but we still win at other positions. And, you know what I'm saying? And we don't necessarily play to our strengths all the time, and we definitely
mm-hmm.
don't play defense collectively. You know what I'm saying? You'll see a steal here, there, and I think the Pacers are still like middle of the park when you talk about steals. Statistically for the league, but again, they don't collectively play defense per possession. They don't.
Mm-hmm. It was said last night, about 10:30 or so last night, Woj from ESPN sent out a Woj bomb, which I still have his alerts on, and I was like, what the hell? The quote was, I'll read the both tweets, amid a year of difficulties with players and staff, Pacers coach Nate Bjorkgren, future with the franchise is uncertain as the regular season nears an end. Sources tell ESPN, Pacers are 30-34, ninth in the East. Bjorkgren has to work has work to do on the relationships with key players in his locker room, sources tell ESPN, thus far shown a willingness within the organization to try and address those issues. Before the game tonight against Sacramento, a couple quotes Bjorkman said, it's been tough. It's been a tough year. There's a lot of challenges. I don't make excuses for things. I'm learning. I've got to coach better. This is on me. Things should be pointed at me. Also, Bjorkman said on improving his relationship with players, communication is an enormous part of this. The management of the personalities is bigger than the X's and O's part. The record isn't what we want it to be. Losing those games, it hurts. I have to do a better job in those areas. To peel it back an extra layer, it seems like Bjorkman's kind of did that dictator approach. It's this way, my way, not trusting in his players, not trusting into his staff that's on his team. I see it as huge red flags, especially your first year in, and you're already having trouble with staff, not only players, but staff on your team. Malcolm Brogdon is probably one of those that's voiced his concern, which wasn't it just 2 months ago we heard that Malcolm Brogdon called Nate and they had a nice conversation on the phone for 3 hours after a game and the communication level there's a, and then how the hell did this get out as another thing?
As I
told our friend of the program, JMV, I don't understand why the hell Kevin Pritchard keeps getting a pass. I've said this now for 2 years, John, or 3 years now, that KP needs to be held accountable for his actions. Yeah. He's not the one out there coaching these players, but did you get a coach that maybe wasn't ready for the prime time? Did you take a chance on it? And I know the players wanted a different coach, but hey, it's egg on your face now because Nate McMillan is doing a hell of a job with that Atlanta Hawks team. I understand when there's difficulties with players. I think it's more of a concern when I also see staff on there. What's your thoughts with Woj's tweet from last night?
My thoughts, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, man. I know on this, on our particular show, on our way, like last two episodes, we were kind of talking about it's the coach. In his pressers, man. I'm not saying he's not a good coach. I'm just saying it just seems like if I can't buy into it, and I never played on the professional level, but if I can't buy into what you're saying, players ain't buying into what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? Again, they probably look at the ring he won with Toronto. Well, look, you know what I'm saying? Kawhi was there. Gasol was there. You know what I'm saying? Payout Shocking was there. That's what they're saying. They're looking at him like he never played. He doesn't necessarily – I get what you're saying, like tyrannical a little bit. Like, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. But, like, you gotta show him. And you can't be – you know what I'm saying, in a presser afterwards saying, well, we you know what I'm saying, I heard better pressers out of Archie Miller after a loss. And we all know what happened to Archie Miller, you know what I'm saying, around here in the Indiana market, you know what I'm saying, they fired him. I think he gets fired. I know it's not the pressure way to have a great
right.
turnover like that. But, again, they made a mistake, Brandon. They made a mistake by firing Nate McMillan. Again, when you are LeBron James and you're saying some of those elite level players, Kevin Durant, you can kind of call shots because you bring a different level to. I'm not saying you should. I mean, again, it didn't start with LeBron. Magic Johnson called shots back in the day too, and got coaches fired because they were oil and water. So that's why the NBA is a players' league. But like when you have, we don't have that kind of players on our team. We have a team that. Coach, the general manager Pritchard put together because of whatever Paul George lied and Victor Oladipo didn't want to be here, so he put together this team on a string. It's just unfortunately that the string has kind of come unraveled because this player, you know what I'm saying, T.J. Warren, oh my God, is often injured. My guy that we got from Charlotte, he's often injured. Goga pick 18, it didn't hit. You know what I'm saying? That lottery pick or that late lottery, the late first rounder hasn't hit. It's not shown fruition since we drafted him in 2019. You know what I mean? And you have to hit. And if you quote-unquote, I got into a debate with Kevin Bowen from 1070. If you're going to have first rounders, you have to hit on them. If you're a small market team, you have to hit on them. You know what I'm saying? And like other teams have had lesser draft picks, whether you're talking about Rudy Gobert, who was picked in his draft at 27. Jokic was – I think Jokic – guys like Jokic and Manu Ginobili, to use examples, they're different because a lot of the teams didn't do their scouting as they should have. That's why those guys went in the second round that they did, you know what I mean? And then they turned out to be all-stars and superstars, right? But again, you have to hit on – your scouting team has to be – you know what I'm saying? No, okay, Goga, is he a developmental guy for like 1 year or is he a developmental guy for 5 years? Because if he's a developmental guy for 5 years, then we should have just drained out of the pick and send him to somewhere, a developmental team, and got a veteran to play in that role. You see what I'm saying? So there's nothing wrong with that. I bet you Danny Ainge would do the exact same thing if he had to redraft Carson Edwards and Romeo Langford. They have been in and out of the lineup, either as starters or as reserves. But he probably would rather traded those two picks and maybe even Grant Williams to get a veteran. You know what I'm saying? To shoulder some of those losses that they've taken because they had learning curves with rookies and second year players. Mm-hmm. So again, a lot of times when guys kind of come out, I know this is a different conversation. When guys come out, yeah, they look the part, but they necessarily can't win games for you. Night after night, professionally, night after night. So again, it kind of goes back to who did the hiring, who does the firing, right?
Right.
You made a mistake.
Right.
You come. You know what I'm saying? Kevin Pritchard made a mistake, compounded mistake by firing Nate McMillan, compounded mistake by hiring Nate Borngreen when he wasn't necessarily ready to be a head coach. He might have he knows all the X and O's, but like, does he have in the locker room to make a connection with the players and to be like, yo, you know what I'm saying? This is what we're going to execute and this is why. So again, I know people listening to this ain't going to hear it, man. Larry Bird and our guy might have to come out of my guy. I know he's in retirement now, but he might have to come back to try to make up, you know what I'm saying, make up some of this mess. Cause Pacers are not necessarily known for drama like this. And this is akin to drama that they've had with the Knicks, with the ownership being wanting to be too involved. You know, this is akin to, I'm trying to think who else has had some silly drama over the past. But this is drama that the Pacers, you know what I'm saying, they're kind of lucky that we're not in a quote-unquote bigger media market where, you know what I'm saying, they would pick on you. Because the last two seasons with this kind of, you know what I'm saying, monkey wrench, yeah, this is bad. And I think, you know what I'm saying, outside of blowing up, I know that's kind of what you thought, kind of blowing up some of the pieces that we already have. I think that the start kind of has happened with the general manager and the coach.
Absolutely. You got to start from the top and work your way down with that. Also, it's been reported today that Terry Stotts and Mike Budenholz, if they don't have good performances in the playoffs this year, and for the Bucks, it would be NBA Finals. And for Portland, I think it would be Western Conference Finals at least. Those two guys could be fired. So maybe one of those would be a future Pacers candidate possibly if it doesn't work out for those two, which I'm surprised. I mean, I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised because both guys need to show a little more than what they have in the previous years.
Yeah. Yeah. With Portland, he's got a lot of offensive power up there. So there's no excuse for that. I mean, Carmelo just went 10th all time. And I know Carmelo's not the same as he was when he was in Denver, but like, you know,
right.
So you have Dame time, you got Dame time, you got McCollum, you traded away Gary Trent Jr. What did you get back? I mean, they got Powell back, but they've had somewhat, like, you know what I'm saying, I don't think they won on a Sunday like for like 5 weeks straight, but they have wins in between, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of kooky. It's kind of kooky up here in Portland. Budenholz, sometimes watching Milwaukee, like, he lets the players kind of do what they do instead of being like, whoa, 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 why don't we play smart basketball? Because, like, when you get up, it's like a lot of times, Brandon, I know you don't believe it, they could have probably blew out the Nets. They could have probably blew out the Nets, but, you know, they kind of play, they kind of take possessions off, or they don't take possessions, they don't maximize the most juice out of the possessions that they can when they had the ball, you know. But I can kind of see more so Terry Scott than Budenholz, because like I said, he, even though Terry has the endorsement of Dame time, again, they haven't moved. They haven't moved the needle outside of the first round. I mean, they got past the first round, but you know, they didn't pay Dame time all that money, and they don't have. I mean, they're one of the top five teams in payroll, I do believe. maybe top six, that, you know what I'm saying, they expect to, you know what I'm saying, to have a deep playoff run, and that necessarily hasn't happened yet.
Right, absolutely. Bucks have the Nets' number right now. They beat them twice in Milwaukee the last couple of nights. I don't think it's too much of it to look at, because obviously playoffs will be home and home. So I think the Nets will get it figured out. Looking at it, though, Philly did take the number one overall seed in the East. Philly, of the three teams, Philly has the easiest schedule remaining. And then Milwaukee has the second easiest schedule, and then the Nets have the third of those top three teams. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where seeding-wise falls in for there. But like Fred said earlier, I think that we're in for a good balance of the Eastern Conference playoffs and even the Western Conference playoffs this year. So looking forward to that. LeBron's going to be sitting out a little bit longer with his injury, and then they're probably going to be in the play-in game. And they could have a good chance of being in that play-in game and putting a lot on Anthony Davis to produce. They got Schroeder that's out now for 2 weeks, so that's going to hurt the Lakers. But I still wouldn't put it past the Lakers. And we'll do a NBA playoff show at some point, previewing it. So I won't go into too much there. I do want to say Denver Nuggets, John. We left them both for dead after Jamal Murray got injured. But the Nuggets are 10-1 since Murray got injured, and they're playing great basketball.
They are. If I had to go down to who the two MVP candidates are, two, I know there's probably five right now that everybody's kind of talking about. It would probably be Nikola Jokic and the aforementioned Giannis. It's kind of like what you want. Do you want to go stats or you want to go bigger wins? Jokic has the wins, and he's got the better stats. I think Giannis has the bigger wins, the better wins, that they beat the better teams, you know what I'm saying, quote, unquote. But, we know Jokic can carry your team. And again, I kind of go back to what their roster kind of looks like. Yes, Jamal Murray went down with a terrible ACL injury, but it wasn't like the cover was bare. They still have Aaron Gordon. They still got, you know what I'm saying, Michael Porter Jr., who should have been the number one overall lottery pick when he came out. They still have pieces out there in Denver to, you know what I'm saying, offensive pieces and defensively, because they kind of get after it as well on that side too. But they still have pieces that they can navigate their way and you know, saying kind of shudder, you know, saying their way to get to the playoffs, man. I did because, like, Jamal Murray, dude, like on most nights, man, he looks like Steph Curry. You know what I'm saying? Some nights he does. Mm-hmm. He looks like Steph Curry. Like, the ball, I don't think, you know what I'm saying, he's going to miss. But they've got, like I said, they got enough offense to kind of carry him. Litmus test for them is when they have to play a big time somebody like a Utah or even the Lakers, because those are the teams that kind of give Jokic the fits and what they kind of run at him. So it'll be interesting to see them. You know what I'm saying? What they see they end up. I don't think they can catch Utah. I know they can't catch Phoenix, but it'll be interesting to see what season they get. Maybe they can catch the Clippers.
I'm curious on your thoughts, Scott Brooks the other night. And he's probably just gassing his own player, the fact that, you know, Westbrook's on his team. But Scott Brooks said that Russell Westbrook is the second best point guard of all time.
Man, I can't not put him not in the top six. I'm being for real, Brandon. I cannot not put him in the top six.
Magic's one.
But, yes, you. I know.
Isaiah's two.
You know what? I can't put Russell Westbrook. I get the triple doubles. I get the athleticism. There's no make mistake that Isaiah Thomas wasn't athletic. You know what I'm saying? Just wasn't. It didn't put it on display like Russell Westbrook. He's not as athletic as Russell Westbrook. But again, Isaiah Thomas, you know, can lived in some finals games, right? At least three of them for sure. He's got to be in the top. He's got to be somewhere in between Jason Kidd and John Stockton. That's where I would put Russell Westbrook. I get it that he ain't, you know what I'm saying, folks are going to – there's been a lot of criticism on Russell Westbrook, man, probably for the same reasons as that stupid plus-negative report. You know what I'm saying? His plus-negative on-the-field crap was horrible in Houston in the last two seasons in Oklahoma, they wasn't that great either. But again, he won games for them in Oklahoma. It didn't work out in Houston because of the mix of him and Harden. That particular backcourt didn't work. Mm-hmm. And even now with Washington, you know what I'm saying, he's still sub 500. But they you know what I'm saying, if it wasn't for a play-in game, they wouldn't be in the playoff talks, right? So I'm not super critical on Russell Westbrook's talent or even him as a leader, other than the fact that sometimes he's a little bit too volatile. I'll tell you, you know what I'm saying, sometimes he's a little bit too emotional, but he's kind of kept that, you know what I'm saying, at bay at least this season, and he's made it himself a factor to be reckoned with. I mean, I kind of chimed in with a friend of the program, Reggie Sykes, about him. Was like, is it time for him to go back to an elite level? Different, like, you know what I'm saying, Washington is a different, they're going in a different direction. You know what I'm saying? He might stay there. They might show him some love on the free agency tip. But, like, you know what I'm saying, can Russell, could he work? Could that, what he does work for Boston? Could what he does work for a Lakers? You know what I'm saying? Could it work for the Clippers when we know they need a point guard? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just saying. I mean they got Rondo, but you know what I'm saying, that ain't Rondo, ain't Russell Westbrook. Not maybe back 10 years ago they were, you know, even, but like now. So again, like where because you know, so you want to see that kind of production out of Russell when it matters. I'm not saying the regular season don't matter, because if anybody, he takes regular season games, he makes them matter because he plays hard, and that's what you kind of like about Russell Westbrook. But that doesn't necessarily always translate into wins necessarily all the time. But I mean, he won't necessarily win comeback player of the year or anything like that. A most improved player, they don't have comeback, most improved player of the year for the NBA. But putting him in the top six, I got no problem with, you know what I'm saying? I just can't necessarily put him – I think he's better than John Stockton or even Jason Kidd athletically in some parts of his particular game, yes. But I don't think he's I don't think he's a better passer than either one of those two guys. And I don't think better jump shooter. I think me and you could jump shoot Russell Westbrook for sure.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, I don't know if you saw it, John. There was a dirty hit last night in the Capitals and Rangers game, which made some comments from the Rangers about how it's incompetent, that they didn't suspend the guy and he could have killed him and all this, yada, yada. Well, it's funny. These two teams played again tonight. The game just started. As soon as the puck dropped, there was three fights as soon as the puck dropped.
Oh, wow.
As soon as it started. So, and there's already been five fights in the first 5 minutes of the game in this game tonight. So it's a good one for the Rangers and them to check out. Probably going to end the show. Go ahead.
Brandon, they better not tell anybody from Houston, the Houston Astros, that, or anybody from Major League Baseball, man, because the people are still pissed about the Houston Astros cheating.
Yankees were pissed last night, so that was good to hear. Probably going to end the show tonight, John. I'm not feeling the greatest, but we got an hour and a half out of these people tonight, so on a flu game night. So, but anything else, my man, before we go?
No, man, I think we hit everything, man. We talked to them. We talked NFL. We talked a little bit of Major League Baseball. We'll expand on that for more next week for sure. I know we didn't touch on racing or even golf, you know what I'm saying, like we normally do, and that's fine. But, like, you know what I'm saying, we covered NFL. Go ahead.
By the way, I don't know if you get the channel A&E. Yeah. If you do, there's two WWE shows on there. So there was they do a WWE biographies one. This past week they did Macho Man Randy Savage. I've seen three different docs on Savage. I thought this one was good as well. They talked to some other people and put in some information that I didn't know from previously in there. But I thought it was a good documentary, about an hour and a half long, on him. They're doing, I believe, Booker T next week. This is the one they're going to do next week. They also do a WWE Hidden Gems or Hidden Treasures, where they go out and they try to find old pieces of memorabilia and then try to buy it back to put in the WWE when they're going to do the Hall of Fame or the museum or whatnot. The first episode they had Undertaker and Kane, different masks from Kane back from when the first original mask, the Undertaker's original purple robe, and it kind of went into the history about that and how long he wore it for and the value. to that little half face mask thing he wore to the urn, the betrayal urn that Paul Bearer used. They ended up finding that. So pretty cool show how they went back looking for all these different items. But it's on A&E. I don't get the channel because of YouTube TV, but I did find a way online you can watch all these videos on there if you don't have any. But I suggest if you get a chance, check it out. Definitely the Savage biography one. That was pretty good.
Right. Yeah, gotcha. Dude, outside of that, man, another documentary to kind of look out for. It's not. It's in the works. The 1996 Olympic Women's Dream Team, the one with Don Staley and Lisa Leslie and Rebecca Lobo, 30 for 30, ESPN 30 for 30 is put together. And we all know how good they did with the Last Dance and even the one with Ric Flair. So they're putting together a 30-30 for them. So, I know folks are not necessarily – sometimes folks are not necessarily, you know, saying crazy about women's basketball, but that dream team is probably one of the best, probably the best, the greatest women's Olympic team they ever put together, on par with what they did with Larry Bird and Chris Mullin and Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. So be on the lookout for that. Outside of that, Brandon, I don't have too much else, man. You said you want to talk. If you want to pick my mind about Marvel, you can.
Yeah.
But
yeah, what's your thoughts on this movies that they've kind of, I guess, teased out there in the next, how many years is it? 3-4 years?
It's like a 3-year plan.
Yeah, which one's you looking forward to the most?
Dude, it's like asking me to pick my left arm or my right arm. You know what I'm saying? I can't. There's no way I'm not going to say Black Panther 2, just for the reason that comes out July of next year. Just because technically the movie title is Wakanda Forever. I don't know how super sleuth you are, but there's not really too many secrets in the internet world. And Disney, Marvel has kind of kept this movie production a secret. Like nobody has known anything about them putting together a Black Panther 2. Especially with the actor, you know what I'm saying, passing away. Last year, nobody knew that nobody knew that this movie was actually in production already. They kind of had told everybody that the movie was kind of like the plans for Black Panther was kind of on pause. So I'm kind of interested in seeing that. But like, there's no necessarily one or two movie. They all kind of go in the chain together. Continue the story from where we kind of left off from either the TV shows or whatever movie you kind of watch, whether it be Infinity War or Endgame. This is kind of, you know what I'm saying, it's just kind of the continued story. So, like, nah, man, it's Disney's part of Marvel's part about trying to help the world get back to normalcy. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of times, man, I don't know how you or anybody that kind of listens to the show, like how you watch movies, but like movies at home, watching on your tablet or your phone is direly different than watching movies at the movie theater. Now, I know the movie theater is going to, you know what I'm saying, bend you over left side on popcorn and concessions and soda and candy and all that stuff. But, you know what I'm saying, there's still nothing, you know what I'm saying, it's still no greater experience to me than watching a movie on this, whether it be, you know, Marvel, Star Wars, or whatever, at the movie theater. So it's kind of their part about, and I'm sure that'll be, you know what I'm saying, when the movies, you know, it's another institution that, you know what I'm saying, that kind of needs to get, you know what I'm saying, revitalized. You know what I'm saying? I know from a personal standpoint, the hotel, you know, industry getting back into it is great to see all that just with travel and stuff kind of come back. This is another part. And like I said, you know what I'm saying, Marvel has put the Marvel movies don't ever disappoint for the most part. And like I said, this is kind of their plan to get people amped up and back into the theaters. I boastfully said that. I was telling somebody, I said, dude, I'm going in that theater maskless. You know what I'm saying? As soon as my name, that's not true. I know my sister, she's like, no, you ain't. I said, nah. So, like, the first movie drops, Black Widow, for Marvel, drops in July of this year. And, like I said, you can either watch it at home, you know what I'm saying, on the Disney Plus, or you can watch it in the theater. I'm going to choose to watch it in the theater, you know what I'm saying, social distance, you know, rules applied or whatever, because I don't necessarily have all my shots just yet. I got all my, you know what I'm saying. So, but, yeah, it's just their part about helping the world get turned back on.
Okay. I will be seeing Space Jam 2 at home, so just for the record. Not in the movie theater. So.
I got you.
All right, John, I'll let you close this out, my guy.
All right, man. Just want to say thank you. to Fred Felton from the KFA Connection for calling in, man. You know what I'm saying? Enlightening us with all his and correcting me for my little snub, for my little blurb about who Detroit Lions drafted, and also, you know what I'm saying, chiming in about what you can kind of watch on AEW and what the future of the Pistons is going to look like. I also want to say thank you to, I know we had some folks on hold, sorry, you know what I'm saying, we'll get you on again next week for sure. But I also want to say thank you to our sponsors, both Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance and Mavericks Custom Motorsports. Be sure to support us. Support those who support Crossroads Sports, however you can and often. You know what I'm saying? Even if, you know, but just by clicking that link and looking at the services they have, it helps us, believe it or not. So outside of that, I just want to say thank you for everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.